بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. So I have received, from time to time I receive questions regarding zakat, and especially regarding who it can be given to. It's commonly known that, you know, it should be going to those who are needy, the poor, the destitute. But there's other questions that often come up. So, for example, within family members, can zakat be given? Can zakat be given for masajid, for example, or for schools? So these are different questions that come time to time. So I'm just going to not focus on the details of who's poor and who's not and who it should go to in terms of the fuqara and the masakin, because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 8 categories for those on whom zakat can be spent. So I won't go into the details of those, but I'll talk about the others and the other categories to which regarding which there's some discussion, and the ones we don't normally hear about when we talk about zakat. So when it comes to family members, the scholars are pretty much unanimous that giving zakat to parents and up, so parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and to children and down, so children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, is not permissible. And the reason for that is because these lie within one's responsibility in terms of offering support. And if a person starts giving zakat to these people instead of supporting them, it can become a means of sort of going around the responsibility of supporting them and giving them zakat instead. So therefore, giving zakat to parents and great and grandparents and so on, and children and grandchildren and so on, is not permissible. There's a difference regarding giving zakat to a spouse. So on the one hand, we find some who say that it is permissible for the wife to give to the husband, but not for the husband to give to the wife. The reason they say that is not permissible for the husband to give to the wife is because, again, it is his responsibility. It is his responsibility to support the wife. And if he starts giving her zakat money, then that means that he is circumventing, he's going around his responsibilities, and he's not discharging his duties to his wife. On the other hand, they would say that it's okay for the wife to give to the husband because she's not responsible for supporting her husband. And there's also a hadith to the effect, I don't have it here with me, and I don't remember it either, but where a woman in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to give zakat, and her husband said that, you know, I'm most deserving of it. So she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed it. The other opinion is that, and this is in the Hanafi school, is that it is not permissible for the wife to give to the husband, and nor for the husband to give to the wife, along with all the other family members that we just discussed. The reason for that being that what normally happens is that when a couple live together and are married, they normally share in each other's belongings, and there is no clear distinction between in terms of ownership, in terms of the items that they own, and in some cases their wealth as well. And therefore, there is the possibility that if a husband gives zakat to his wife, or if the wife gives zakat to the husband, they will end up using some part of that wealth in some way, which is impermissible, because it's not permissible for a person to give zakat to himself or to herself. So therefore, they say that it is not permissible for either of them to give zakat to one another. And so that's that. Now the other categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. So Allah says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. So the third category Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about are those people who are managers of zakat. So people who are managing the zakat money. Now there is a difference of opinion regarding this, if that still applies now or not. So one opinion is that this is only for those who are employed by the Islamic State to collect zakat. so who are appointed by the Emir, by the Khalifa, to collect zakat, and does not apply to organizations and centers. So if an organization or a masjid or a center, you know, has someone who is responsible for collecting zakat and managing it and distributing it and so on and so forth, they cannot be given any money from zakat. The other view is that in the absence of an emir or of an Islamic state, then an Islamic organization fills that void to a certain extent, and therefore can appoint someone and reimburse them for expenses incurred regarding the distribution and the management of zakat money, as well for the time spent in managing this money. And this goes even if they are not poor. So even if the person who is managing the money, the zakat money, is not poor, still they are eligible to accept some form of payment or reimbursement for their time and their efforts from the money that has been collected for zakat. And this is because Umar radiallahu anhu said that he was doing this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pay compensation to him for managing for zakat funds. And he says that I would say to him, give it to one who is poorer than I. So he wouldn't want that money, and he would say, give it to someone else. And once he gave me money, and I said to him, give it to a person more needy than I. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar radiallahu anhu says, take what Allah, to whom belongs might and majesty, gives you of his bounties without your having asked for it or being eager. So you're not eager for it, you're not asking for it, but take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you from his bounties. So take it and keep it, or give it away as charity, and what is not given should not be asked for. And this is reported by Bukhari and Nasa'i. So based on that, the scholars say that the person who is managing zakat, regardless of the difference between whether they should be doing it for an Islamic state or if they can do it for an Islamic organization, in any case, they can take money, they can take reimbursement, receive reimbursement, even if they are not needy, even if they are not poor. The fourth category is مُؤَلَّفَةُ الْقُلُوبِ. And those are the people whose hearts are to be won. The people whose hearts are to be won. So what exactly does that mean? So generally what it is understood to be is to, what it was understood to be in the past, is to persuade non-Muslims in favor of Islam. So if there was someone who was inclined towards Islam, to sort of, you know, make them feel good and make them feel wanted and welcome, to give them some money from zakat. Muslims who were new, to make them more firm in their faith, for appeasement as well. So if there was someone who was a troublemaker and was causing trouble for the Muslims, to give them some of that money to appease them so that they stop. And for those who would only listen to the language of favor and generosity. So a lecture wouldn't do it for them. They wouldn't want to, you know, to listen rationally or, you know, or fight or anything, but the only thing that they would understand is, you know, the favors and generosity towards them, which would make them more inclined towards Islam. Now, some have taken this position that this has been abrogated because Islam has since been strengthened and it's not in its growing phase anymore. So since Islam has reached, you know, has become established now, it's not a young, you know, it's not a young, the Muslims are not, do not make up a young community anymore. So therefore, you know, this has now been abrogated. And this opinion is attributed to Umar radiallahu anhu, to Hassan Basri rahimahullah, to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah. The Hanafis say that the share of such people became cancelled when Islam became strong. So for instance, there's an incident when a group of three people came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and requested their share. So they weren't, you know, they hadn't accepted Islam, but they came and they requested their share, and he wrote a letter for them, which they took to Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu read the letter and he tore it up and said, this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give you to reconcile you to Islam. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Now Allah has fortified Islam and it is no longer in need of you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give you these payments to bring you towards Islam, but now Allah has made Islam strong and it is no longer in need of you. So unless you stay with Islam, the sword will be between you and us. And he says, and he quoted from the Quran, say, it is the truth from the Lord of you all, then whoever will, let him believe, and whoever will, let him disbelieve. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So they returned to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, said, Are you the Khalifa or is Umar the Khalifa? You wrote a letter for us and Umar tore it up. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu answered that this is the way it is. So the Hanafis then point out and say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu agreed with Umar radiallahu anhu and none of the companions disapproved of this. And likewise, afterwards, it was never reported from Uthman radiallahu anhu or from Ali radiallahu anhu that they gave anything to anyone in this category. So based upon this, they say that because of this incident and the fact that no one afterwards or none of the Khulafa Rashidun after that gave money in this category for zakat, so therefore it does not apply anymore. Others, for example, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad rahimahumullah, say that this was allowed to lapse in the time of Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhumah because there was no need. But just because it was stopped then doesn't mean that it has become abrogated and it cannot be acted upon when needed afterwards again. Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir lists people who had been given zakat money for reconciling hearts. So he has a list of people who were given money for this purpose, and he sums it up by saying that in fact none of them were actually disbelievers. So after doing his research and compiling the list, he says that none of them were actually disbelievers and that this money was only given to people who had already believed. Now the question becomes, the other question that comes is the money that is given to such people. So for example, someone is new to Islam and their faith needs to be strengthened and so on, do they have to be rich? Can they be rich or not? Or do they have to be poor as well in order to qualify? So Imam Shafi'i and Ahmad rahimahumullah say that all converts who need a sympathetic attitude to make their faith firm can be given zakat, whether or not they are poor or not, and that this is a category on its own. So the fact that it's listed separately as a category, apart from the poor and the needy, shows that they can be given money even if they are not in absolute need of help. And Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik rahimahumullah, take the opposite position and they say that poverty is still a condition. And they say that poverty is a condition for receiving zakat for all. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed in that verse, all the different categories, poverty is still a condition except for those who are amilin of zakat, who are the managers of zakat. And the reason for that is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that sadaqah is not allowed for the well-off except for the following five. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that sadaqah is not allowed for anyone who is well-off, meaning anyone who is not poor, except for the following five people. The first one is administrator of zakat, a purchaser of zakat holdings. So if someone is buying something from someone who is eligible to receive zakat and is buying property or something that they have received in terms of sadaqah or zakat from them, a debtor, so if somebody has debt, they can receive zakat even if they have some wealth. A warrior in the cause of Allah, or a person who is given a present by the needy from what the latter has been granted as zakat. So if someone who is eligible for receiving zakat because they are poor receives a gift and passes it on to someone else who is rich, then that is permissible for them. But the bottom line is that all agree that it is allowed as a category. So meaning it hasn't been repealed, it hasn't been abrogated with regards to Muslims. So the difference that we were talking about was regarding those who are not Muslims. But when it comes to people who have already accepted Islam and may be new to the community and to the faith and need support to firm up their iman, all agree that it is allowed as a category to give them zakat money. The next is firqab, for the freeing of necks, or which is the literal translation, but the freeing of slaves. The majority of the scholars say that this is only for slaves who have entered agreements with masters for release upon a fixed amount. So what would happen in the time when there was slavery is that a slave would come into make an agreement with the master and say that if I give you X amount of money, if I pay you an X amount, then you will free me. And the master would say, okay, fine. So this person then would work and earn money, and whatever money they would earn, they would give back to their master until they reach that agreed upon amount, and then the slave would be freed. So the majority of the scholars say that this is for somebody in that position who has made that agreement. But since slavery has been abolished, one view that I came across was that this can actually also apply to a Muslim prisoner who has been captured by the disbelievers. So a Muslim prisoner who has been captured by the enemy or by the disbelievers, the disbelievers or the ones who are holding this Muslim prisoner may be given zakat funds to ransom this prisoner. So the zakat money can be used to seek the freedom of this person. This also applies to kidnapping. So if the disbelievers or even a Muslim has kidnapped another Muslim, there is nothing wrong with ransoming this person with zakat funds, because the purpose is the same, namely releasing a Muslim from captivity. And this applies if you're not able to force the kidnapper to release him without using this money, if the victim is a Muslim. So the bottom line is, and these are some of the areas where you can have even more differences of opinion, because these are new circumstances which didn't apply necessarily at that time. But in any case, it's one of the views that actually have been asked about and that I came across as well. The other category afterwards is a person in debt. So if somebody has debt that is a burden on them and they need to have it relieved, they can actually receive zakat funds. And some of the scholars, especially in Canada, actually gave a fatwa as well that zakat should be encouraged to be given, especially to students. So students who don't have funds and who have large student loans on them can actually receive zakat funds as well to help them pay off this debt. Now here comes the most talked about, I guess, category, which is fi sabilillah. So fi sabilillah is, I don't want to say controversial, but there is discussion because of what exactly constitutes fi sabilillah. The original, most of the traditional classical scholars will say that fi sabilillah was specifically for a couple, or maybe at the max three types of people. And that was, first of all, the mujahid, so a person who is fighting in the cause of Allah. If he needed support, he could be given zakat money. Others say that it also includes hajj as well. So if a person needs to go for hajj, wants to go for hajj, hasn't done hajj yet, but is short on some funds, then zakat money can be given to that person as well. And the reason that is extended to hajj is because both are individual acts of worship. So if someone is struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if a person is going for hajj, they are both individual acts of worship. And some have even expanded that slightly and included studying knowledge of Islam as well, because they say that studying the deen, studying Islam, is also a type of struggle. And it is actually one of the most important struggles, they say. So therefore, students of knowledge, of Islamic knowledge, can be given funds as well. But they say provided that they are poor and needy. So even if there is some doubt regarding that category, meaning regarding students of knowledge, they still say that they have to be needy anyway in order to receive it. So they would still fall in the first category. Now the difference of opinion nowadays is that zakat, in some places, or in many places maybe, is used for almost everything, right? So it could be used for running the masjid, running an Islamic school, running organizations, for digging wells, for building bridges, roads, etc. The traditional classical scholars still say today that this is incorrect, because if you think about it, everything that we have discussed so far, all the other categories, are spending in the path of Allah, right? They all have something to do with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping someone, and so on. So the fact that, if this was a separate category and the intent was to include everything, then it wouldn't really make sense, and it would actually be somewhat redundant to mention all of them separately, because they would all be fi sabilillah, they would all be in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then anything could qualify. So that's what they say. Others have taken a different approach and said that, you know, times have changed, the needs of the Muslims have changed as well. You know, you need organizations who stand up, for example, for Muslims' rights, you know, who offer education, costs have gone up and so on. And because of that, they interpret fi sabilillah to be more broad. So anything that qualifies for helping, you know, in terms of helping the Muslim community, serving some of their needs, would qualify as part of this category as fi sabilillah. Now, this category is the discussion is important because even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't given a free rein in this matter. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't given a free rein to decide who should receive zakat and who shouldn't receive zakat, and rather the zakat, the recipients of zakat have been prescribed only by Allah subhanahu wa taala in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa taala says innama sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin and so on, saying that these are the only ones whom zakat should be used for. So the scholars will say that it is not a matter to be taken lightly. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The best approach seems to be that if we can ensure that, you know, zakat funds actually go to individuals who need them, then that is the best. And if we can use, I mean, there's nothing stopping us from optional charity in supporting all the other causes. So if you can do that, that is good. But in any case, the other opinion is also there in terms of organizations receiving zakat. Finally, we have the wayfarer. So a person who is traveling, right? A traveler, someone who is passing through, even if the person has wealth back home, so even if they're rich in their at their home, in their home city or home country, if they are stranded, if they are cut off and are in need of money to complete their journey and to return home in peace, they can be given money as well. So for example, you know, we have a lot of travelers who pass by here. So let's say somebody is passing by and, I don't know, their car breaks down and, you know, they don't have cash and they don't have any money, they're stranded and they need to get the car towed and get the car fixed to go on to their way. So just as an example, that would that could be one, you know, one person, one situation where a person can be given zakat. Any questions? How are we doing for time? 22 minutes.
In case, like, if somebody who is here overseas as a refugee and he doesn't have means and he died, can we spend the government on his burial?
From what I recall, I think the answer would... See, here's the thing. If it's if you consider it to be fi sabilillah and you take the more liberal interpretation, I don't want to use liberal, the more generous interpretation of fi sabilillah, then that would qualify. And if you take the original interpretation of all of these categories, then it wouldn't, because one of the necessary requirements that the traditional, the classical scholars talk about is actually for the person who deserves zakat to have ownership of that funds. They say that's one of the requirements for zakat to be discharged. And actually that's very important, because if that is actually true, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it appears to be, and when we give zakat funds to an organization to spend somewhere on our behalf as agents, that zakat is actually not discharged until it actually reaches its intended destination. Right? So all the zakat funds we might have sitting in the account, right, or organizations have sitting in zakat funds or zakat accounts, that still hasn't been counted as actually been discharged according to that view. So in that sense, then it wouldn't qualify.
Can I ask you a question about the example that you gave about the stranded traveler?
Sure.
So, number one, do you have to disclose to that person that you're giving them zakat?
Okay, great question. So when you are giving money to zakat funds to a person, you do not need to disclose that it is actually zakat money.
Okay, so
you can simply say it's a gift or, you know, whatever.
So if they're rich and whatever, and you give them money because they were in help, and you give them with the intention of zakat, and somehow they get back home, they're very gracious for your help and they decided to give that money back, mm-hmm. what do you do then?
In that case, if you see, the thing is, if a person has received funds, so you gave money as zakat, okay, and the moment that it was received, it was discharged in that situation. If somebody returns it, that would be a gift on their part. That would be a gift on their part for you. Now it's up to you if you want to keep it or if you want to, you know, give it in charity or whatever you want to do with it.
So never do you, when you give zakat, the rule is you don't have to disclose that this is.
That's right. In fact, you shouldn't disclose that it's zakat money. You should try to do it as, you know, discreetly as possible. One of the other things that come up is if you could get tax receipts on zakat. Right, so if you give zakat to an organization and they issue a tax receipt, you know, is it okay to claim that on your taxes or not? So the view I've come across is that there's nothing wrong with that, and that it's okay to do that because it is, you know, your zakat has already gone and it's done. It's, you know, it's been given away, and this is, you know, it's sort of facility or a type of bonus that you get from the government, and that it's okay to use it. Personally, just my personal opinion, I don't feel too comfortable with that. But you know, it's, you don't go by my feelings, you go by, you know, what the scholars rule.
And claim the money and then give it.
Sure, you can always do that, right? So claim the money and then give it in charity, by all means.
In case of organization, right? Suppose ISK helps somebody. Mm-hmm. Then that person wants to return that money back by escape. It should go back to the zakat. It should not be considered as a gift to the organization.
Well, you see, it depends on how or what was said or under what terms the money was given, right? So if the money was given as a gift, quote unquote, which really meaning zakat, and there was no expectation of return, and it was made clear at that time, then if anything comes back, that's a bonus, right? That is a gift, essentially. So it can be used in general charity.
I understood, I think, that zakat means charity. Now, the limit generally we have is the minimum charity. This much amount or so to be distributed by the person who has the wealth. But in fact, in Islam, generally there is no upper limit for charity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, under the name of zakat, one can give more than what's
right.
The minimum required.
That's right. That's right.
And one generally notices that, well, some people are very much stuck on that minimum. Mm-hmm. But zakat can be more than that.
That's right.
Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. So if a person is, you know, sometimes this is what happens, right? So you're calculating your zakat and especially for the woman, you know, your jewelry's been sitting in, you know, some safe deposit box somewhere, and you're not sure if it was weighed properly or, you know, whatever. And you're not 100% sure if there's, you know, there might be some extra money lying around the house or somewhere. I don't know if that happens everywhere else, but I happen to find $10 or $20 bills here and there in books and different places. So, I mean, if you're not sure, you can always, you know, add a bit more, you know, to be safe. There's no harm in giving a bit more. So whatever amount you come up with, you know, round it up a bit, you know, add 50, 20, whatever, $100 to it, just to make sure that you're safe, inshallah. And there's no harm in doing that. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a good question. So in that case, so any other relationships other than the ones we discussed, so apart from, you know, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and apart from husband and wife, there's nothing wrong. It's actually good to give zakat to those who are close to you because they're the ones who are most deserving. So if there is someone within your family, cousins, uncle, aunts, whoever, who needs help, then by all means, you know, they are most deserving when it comes to funds.
So basically, vertical relations are not allowed, but horizontal.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, there's a difference between zakat and sadaqah. Zakat is there's 2.5% and you have to 1 year, this money or this. But for Sadaqa, there's no limits. It's up to what you can get from your.
That's right. So what we're talking about right now is the fard of zakat, right? So we're talking about zakat and mal.
Charity is sadaqa or zakat or both in English. That's what it means.
Yeah, it can be translated in different ways. Right, but what we're talking about right now specifically is the obligatory zakatul mal.
Yes.
Right, so we're talking about the fard zakatul mal, the 2.5% and so on that needs to be given. Apart from that, optional charity can be given to anyone.
Sadaqah.
Yeah, optional, regular sadaqah.
Yes.
Now see what sort of conflict or confuses people sometimes is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word sadaqat, right? But that has been understood by the consensus of jurists and scholars to mean specifically zakatul mal, because other optional charity, and this is known through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can be given to anyone. You know, there's no limitations to that. Now, one of the other, I guess, questions that comes up is whether zakat funds can be given to those who are not Muslims. So, can zakat funds can be given to those who are not Muslims? So the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's, you know, a couple of views on that as well. The majority view is that the classical jurists, the four imams and others as well, agree that those who are not believers are not to be given zakat. And the reason for that, and again I'm talking about zakat and mal here, so the obligatory zakat, I'm not talking about optional sadaqah or optional charity, which is in fact good and should be given to everyone. But when it comes to the obligatory zakat and mal, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says the zakat is taken from the rich and given back to the poor, or taken from their rich and given back to their poor, or your rich and your poor. So what that is taken to mean, that it should be taken from, obviously zakat is taken from the Muslims, so those who are not believers don't have to give zakat. So since it is to be taken from the rich and given back to the poor, means within the same community and within Muslims, and that is what it is understood to be. Others have said more recently, and more of a very minority opinion, that it can be given to everyone because the verse of the Quran is open. The verse of the Quran is open; it doesn't restrict. It doesn't say anywhere that it has to be only Muslims. So that is the understanding of some scholars, some recent scholars. But the overwhelming majority of fuqaha, of jurists and scholars, agree that this obligatory zakat is to be spent only among Muslims, and other optional charity can then be given and is encouraged to be given to anyone else in need.
Brother, I used to send zakat overseas to members, family members, that I thought were falling in one of these categories. But then later on, I received news that I should be careful because they may not actually be eligible, because others saw that they were living, you know, buying cars and say. So do I have to spend that zakat amount again, or it's discharged?
That's another good question. So if you, what really matters is your best judgment at the time of when you're giving the zakat. So if you give zakat funds, for example, to someone, and you find out later on that they were not eligible for zakat, or like you said, you know, you find out that, you know, maybe, you know, you shouldn't have given zakat to them, the zakat at the time when you discharged it became discharged, and you're not responsible for giving it again.
Is there any consensus amongst scholars about the priorities of these different, I mean, you mentioned so many different people that are eligible for zakat.
Yeah.
Many Muslims do not give zakat, and I mean, if we just don't have enough money to give, there's so much need.
Right.
So the question is there a priority that's given to, like, people, organizations that, you know, we should be going down, as opposed to just sort of personal or,
yeah, I mean, generally the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, you know, the poor and the needy first, shows, you know, that should probably be in the order of priority. One of the questions that often comes up is, should zakat be kept here? Should it be spent here if you're living here, or should it be sent to other parts of the world where it might be needed a bit more? Based on the hadith that I had just mentioned, that you know, the zakat is to be taken from the rich and given to the poor within a community, as it is understood to be within a community. Based on that, it appears that it is better to spend it, you know, locally if possible, for those who are most in need. But then, you know, others would argue that the standards of living, you know, are, there's such a stark contrast in standards of living that even the basic necessities of people in other countries may not be met, and therefore they are more deserving in terms of zakat funds. So at the end of the day, personally, the way I see it, it's probably best to divide it up, if possible. So, you know, if there are those locally who are taking, if there are people who are in need and you know them, you can give them, then that's great. If you don't know anyone, then, you know, any charity that is that promises to give to people who are deserving and you trust them, I would give it to them.
By that same token, are you not supposed to sort of give zakat to not immediate family, but extended family first? Like, if there's a need amongst them, and with families being dispersed so far away, a lot of people send their zakat back home or to wherever. I mean, you could also say that, well, yes, it should go to the community, but then again, it should also go to your own family.
That's right. Yeah, so I mean, family members are very much deserving as well, and are probably on the top of the priority list. So if somebody has family members, and if they're not necessarily living with them in the same community, they are still part of their community, right? In terms of their relations, so therefore, definitely zakat money should be given to them.
In a good time, and he had a good amount of jewelry, but all of a sudden, because of circumstances, like her life or her, she got divorced, and she doesn't have a means to part of that jewelry. What should she do?
She will need to sell part of that jewelry and use that to give to God.
She should sell that.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك